I'm now pleased to introduce Catherine Burnett. She is Associate Dean for Experiential Education and a professor at South Texas College of Law. She received both her BA and JD from the University of Texas, and after clerking for Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, she practiced in Texas both as a prosecutor and defense attorney before beginning law school teaching. She is board certified in criminal law and criminal appellate law, and she has taught national and state criminal procedure, international criminal law and procedure, and seminars on the death penalty. In her role as associate dean, she oversees the law school's clinical programs as well as the student pro bono volunteer program. As a clinical professor, she launched the law school's first direct representation clinics, which have grown now to 22 clinics and 6 externships. She's a frequent instructor and speaker for legal education and training programs in Texas and internationally, and has been active in bar service at local, state, and national levels. She is passionate about criminal justice and social policy issues, as well as criminal and civil models for dispute resolution. As a professor, Catherine's focus centers on developing the critical competencies and values that the next generations of lawyers will need to, in order to serve, lead, and thrive. That's a big chore, okay? As a practitioner, she is committed to helping close the access to justice gap, confronting systemic inequalities, and delivering client-focused representation. And on a personal note, when my husband died a year and a half ago, he was a criminal defense lawyer, had been practicing for 45 years, and he left a total mess. Files everywhere, and it was a mess. And as busy as she is, she told me if I needed her to come to San Antonio to sort things out, to help me, all I had to do was call her. That's what kind of person she is.
Wow, thank you, Your Honor. It's a real privilege to be here today. I love this conference, and already today I feel like I've learned so many things. You know how you come to a conference and think, I know this. I know how to write. Clearly, I don't. But I'm learning. And the writ panel, I mean, just, wow, there's so much. It has been so fantastic. So I am honored to be here to talk about findings of fact, because findings of fact, to me, are sometimes the total game. But before I start, I need to have a moment of gratitude and express thanks for all the people who have helped me make this presentation, including Baldwin Chen, who does not want to be acknowledged, but I'm hoping we could say Baldwin, who's been a frequent co-author with me and presenter in the past. It takes a lot. So why do we care about findings of fact? Here's my operating premise. It's all about the facts. It's all about the facts all the time. That's how we win criminal trials, regardless of what side of the docket you're on. That's often the tipping point on appeal. And as Carmen Rowe told us yesterday, the tipping point sometimes for PDRs. And it's mission critical on writs, as we learned from Michael earlier today. So facts are important, really important, which takes us to standards of review. And I'm hoping you're going, what? Standards of review? I thought this was about findings of fact. Why are we talking about standards of review? And we're starting here because that's where the reviewing court determines, as we know, how much deference they're going to give to the proceedings below. Hopefully, we'll be using our findings of fact to shape what that deference looks like, right? And stretching this topic a little bit, how we're going to use facts to shape our narrative of the case. So, in my opinion, standards of review have a huge, oversized potential role when we are crafting our fact findings. As we know, basically, appellate courts are going to function primarily to serve to correct legal errors, right, and to develop jurisprudence. Trial court judges resolve contested actual disputes, right? They make credibility determinations about the people testifying before them. They resolve historical facts. So those two types of courts occupy very different places in our justice system. And I think that's what the difference between those roles has led to the creation of the standards.